Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Darryl Rutter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Yay! But I'm sure he has a cynical outlook. Boo! Hi, Darryl.
Hello, boys. Happy Friday.
Same to you. What was your reaction when Paul DeBodesta said, bye-bye?
A little surprise came out of left field, no pun intended, but also, I think, very good.
Already with the baseball guy shots. Come on, keep it above
real
board.
Real can of corn.
Well, what a Texas leaguer, even though he's headed to Colorado.
Yeah, well, if you saw the results from the Browns under DePodesta the last 9.5 years, well, you'd understand. 56-99-1.
What are you?
Outsmarted everybody.
Didn't get that 100 loss. Did not do it.
Oh, that's so disappointing. So disappointing. I thought he had a shot at 100 losses.
So let me ask you this. I think that I want to know what you think he was really responsible for, because we don't know. And there have been a couple of people going, guys, he really wasn't responsible for much. You fans make way too big a deal about that. And I go, you guys are nuts. You guys are stoned to the bejesus. He absolutely had the ear of a lot of things. He was in charge of at least laying the groundwork for everything that's been done. I think he had way more power than anybody would ever want to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. He was certainly responsible for the 1-31 misery that fans went through. He was responsible for hiring Kevin Stefanski, wanted him in 2019. They decided to hire Freddie Kitchens instead. We know what a disaster that was. Kitchens fired after 1 year. Stefanski ultimately hired. He also had his hands in a lot of non-football stuff. He was confidant, consultant, however you want to term it. With the Haslam family on a variety of business deals, both in and outside the sports sphere. He really was a chief strategy officer, not just from the management of the 53-man roster and personnel.
Yeah, Darryl, he also took a lot of pride in their process that led them to Deshaun Watson. And I just wonder, is that one of the things we can definitively say that he had a huge part in.
Well, I don't know if you want to put that at his feet. I think everybody had a huge part in that decision, which ended up being disastrous. But his influence within the building and within the organization, as well as Haslam Sports Group, it was pretty strong. That's not to say, again, that he was running things, but you know, the information he gathered and the collaboration of using said information that he gathered, like, I mean, they're his fingerprints are all over the failures of this organization for the majority of time, vast majority of time that he was here in Cleveland. Again, they ended up winning just 56 games. And the whole thing, when he was hired, I was under the perception that, oh, this is, they're going to be outsmarting people. They're going to do all these things to find, you know, ways to turn the system in their favor. And in some respects, he did. But I was maybe expecting 99 wins and 56 losses and a tie, and not the other way around. Just a very lackluster, very disappointing tenure for Dee Podesta here in Cleveland. And look, I'm glad he's going back to his roots into something he actually knows, and that's baseball, because he didn't know football.
Woo! Daryl wow. Ryder! That's some heat. I like it. Can I take it a step further? And this is a little conspiratorial, I will say. You know, a lot of it's been reported. You know, Jason had the article years ago. The Baker wanted a $300 million contract.
Right.
Okay? I think that when you said that he kind of set them on this path, Paul Dee Podesta set them on this path to 1-31. That, you know, he was, you know, this is what you got to do. You got to tank it out. You got to get that. I think that I wonder, because I can't prove it. Do you think that he was one of the folks behind, hey, just let Baker go ahead and play and see whether or not he's worth it? Because I think that he was more, it's all or nothing. We either, like, I see a guy, it's like, well, we could have brought him back. We could have calmed people down. We could have let him not be playing when he was definitely injured and hurting himself and hurting the team by playing.
Right.
And I think that he maybe just wanted to prove that it's a $300 million quarterback because it was all or nothing. Because then Deshaun comes in here and he's a $230 million guaranteed quarterback. It's literally all or nothing. And you're seeing Deshaun Watson right now where, think about this. Think about this here, Tone, or Daryl. Deshaun Watson, $230 million, bust. I'm not sure Tua's contract, bust. I'm not sure Kyler Murray's contract right off the top of my head, bust. Meanwhile, Baker's on a and Baker will get paid, I'm sure, but he's on a workable deal. They're able to bring in a lot of talent around him. He's able to reinvigorate his career. And you know what? I'm looking around the league. Other guys are doing that as well. And I'm thinking, man, if we would have been able to get him back and get him healthy, maybe he would have won a competition against a veteran out there. Maybe we would have been in a much better place as a fan base and just with our overall psyche than we would be had we had not gone down this path. Do you believe that Paul Dee Podesta had a lot to do with that?
No, I think Baker Mayfield had a lot to do with that. His insistence on playing through the injury because he felt the pressure of wanting to earn that contract and ultimately ended up blowing up in his face along with just some of the maturity issues that he had and the Browns deciding that he was not worthy of a $200-plus million investment. There were just too many questions left unanswered despite him being here for a couple of years, and that ultimately led to the divorce and the pursuit of Deshaun Watson, who at the time, setting aside the off-the-field baggage, at the time, the belief was that he would be a leap forward from Baker, and he was a ceiling that Baker was not ever going to achieve. What got lost in that shuffle is a lot of the numbers that Deshaun Watson put up with the Houston Texans. Texans, the year he led the NFL, I should say, in passing, Texans won four games. They were playing from behind all the time. So, of course, they were throwing the ball. Where was the analytical...
Tried to say that to Tone. Tone didn't want to listen to you. That's what happens when you don't look at stats.
Where was the analytical analysis on that? Why didn't anyone in the building realize that part of it. And that's not to say that Deshaun was not a great quarterback when he was with the Texans, but that is kind of part of the equation that you have to look at. Like, okay, what are the situations? You know, are we talking game-winning drives late where he's just, you know, throwing for 150 yards in the fourth quarter to bring his team back? Or are they down by 2-3 scores and that's all they have at their disposal is just to chuck the ball down the field and see if they can pull rabbits out of their hats? So, you know, I'm not going to put the transition from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson on Paul DePodesta, but absolutely he was consulted on that. He was consulted on the draft compensation that was sent to the Houston Texans. He was consulted on the cap ramifications and the financials involved in that deal. So yes, he absolutely was a part of the decision-making process in regards to Deshaun Watson, but I don't know that it's fair to lay that solely at the feet of Paul DePodesta.
All right, Daryl, for me, there's two roads that I talked about there, the directions that this could go. The one road is elevating Andrew Berry, giving him even more power or whatever than he already has, you know, within the front office and continuing on and, you know, maybe elevating Glenn Cook or whatever. Okay, that's one road. Yeah. I do not want to go down that road, as I've said earlier in the show. The other road is a total house cleaning, where that wouldn't be a lot of fun either, but it would rid themselves of any fingerprints of Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry, and then obviously they would get a new coach. What road do you think they'll take? Which one do you think they should take?
Well, the challenging part, one of the good things that Paul DePodesta did bring to the Haslams was patience. That I think is important because they were very impatient early in their ownership tenure, and they've been very patient with this current regime, as now we're 6 years into it. Granted, there are two playoff appearances in there, so that makes those, that patience a little easier to tolerate. You're right. I was thinking about that last night. You know, where do they go from here? Personally, I would like them to go back to football, because go back to like a John Dorsey type. That guy can play. That guy can't play. I mean, Dorsey was a master at that. Him and Alonzo Highsmith were a great team. I'd like to see that, because I don't think they've done a good job bringing in talent. Most of the talent that is here, he inherited. Like, Andrew Berry inherited a team that was ready to consistently win. And guess what? We are back to where they began before Paul DePodesta arrived. When Paul got here, it was they were stuck in 4-12, 5-11, sprinkling a little 3-13. He burned the house down, acquired all these assets. Okay, you got two playoff appearances, one playoff went out of that. But guess what? You've won five of your last 25 games. You've got an expensive, overpaid roster right now that isn't winning. Same problems you had before DePodesta got here. So you're back to square one. And I you know, I don't know necessarily how attractive the Browns become. Certainly the two first-round picks next year, the draft assets they have in 2026 makes them attractive to a prospective GM. But the Deshaun Watson contract certainly does not make them all that attractive. But that's the road I'd like them to go. But there's part of me that thinks that they're going to that they could promote, like you said, Anthony. They could promote Andrew Berry, kind of like what the Cavs did with Kobe Altman, right? You promote him, name him president of football operations. You know, the Browns are very good at giving out fancy titles. Just look at Berry's current title, executive vice president of football operations and general manager. So they're very good at handing out the fancy titles. Give Andrew Berry a new fancy title. Go ahead and bring in another GM. I don't know that you promote Glenn Cook or, Catherine Hickman. I don't know if that's the way to go. I'd like to see a new outside voice come in. A new perspective on where they're at right now, because I don't know that the current perspective is solving the problems that they have. And they have a lot of problems, starting with the number one problem, and that's finding themselves a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, Daryl, the one issue I have is that if you were to keep Andrew Berry here, I think it eliminates the chance of getting a Mike Vrabel type coach, or the year before it was Sean Payton. The other issue to counter what I just said is those guys aren't available. Those guys are gone. Yeah. Who would be that powerful guy? You're not going down the Josh McDaniels road again. He's been ineffective as a head coach, but he was a guy that wanted all the power too, and that's why he didn't get the job. So who are those guys that would even be available that you'd want to, give them the reins, give them all the power?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking unproven coordinator dude again, right? You're talking another Kevin Stefanski, Rob Chudzinski. I mean, because that's what the Browns have hired historically. They rarely hire a coach with previous head coaching experience. And so that is a question organizationally that I believe they have to ask as well. You know, do we want to go with another first-time head coach, growing pains, learning on the job type of a situation? Are we better off standing pat with Kevin Stefanski and his steady leadership, his unemotional leadership? Stefanski 2 years in a row now has given up the play calling. I don't know what that says about him and play calling, but that is something that has been well received within the building, both inside and outside of the locker room. And everyone seems to be very complimentary that Kevin was able to do that. So I don't see right now, just thinking off the top of my head, experienced head coaches being available. I don't know. Do you pull John Gruden out of retirement? But then there's some, ancillary things that you have to deal with there, and his ongoing lawsuit against the NFL, the circumstances that led to his dismissal from the Las Vegas Raiders, et cetera, right? But Gruden would come in here and he'd take the world by storm, right? His press conferences would be must-see television for everybody. So I think that if a coaching change ultimately gets made, guys, I think it's going to be another unproven coordinator dude type of guy.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, have we even got to ask about the game on Sunday yet?
Does the game even matter on Sunday?
It matters. Oh, Daryl, that's an interesting tact.
To the draft, Knicks, it definitely matters.
It's going to be a tanktastic good time for somebody.
Would you rather win or lose this game?
I'd rather the Browns win because, we've seen them lose plenty of times. We've seen them lose in the name of draft picks, and what good has that done them?
None.
Exactly. So go win the game. This is a game you should win, just like Miami earlier this year where they took the boots to the Dolphins. Go take the boots to the Jets in the flaming wreckage that's left after their fire sale. Go out there and run them out of their own building, embarrass the hell out of them, and come home with your third win of the season.
All right, Daryl. You have any more for this guy? Executive Vice President of Keeping It the F Real, Daryl Ryder. Thank you very much for your time. All the best.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
Daryl Ryder. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tommy Rees spoke. We listened to most of it. After we cut away, Tommy was asked, you know, we've seen the offense here with Kevin for 8 games, 2-6. How might the offense be different with Tommy Rees calling plays? And here's what Tommy Rees had to say.
Because it's the same playbook, because it's still collaborative, do you think, like, just watching the game, the offense and how it operates is going to look much different than it did the first 8 weeks?
I'll ask you next week, I guess. You know, I would think every play caller is going to have a different feel, a different spin on things. They're going to have things that they value, things that they want to get to. Kevin and I are not the same person, although, to your point, we have enough in our offense to make it look different in spots. We have enough depth in what we're asking those guys to do to make it look different. But I think some of the core principles continue on. We just have to do them at a higher level. I'm not going to put any labels on it. We want to go out there and play sound football, put our players in the right spots, and have success. Like, look, we got to score points. We got to stay on the offense. To sit here and say a bunch of stuff that it's going to look like, you know, we want to maximize the guys we have. And that's looked different. First year I called plays at Notre Dame looks different than when I was at Alabama. It's just you're trying to maximize the guys you have on the roster.
Maximize the guys you have on the roster. He's mentioned that a couple of times then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they've been maximizing the guys so far?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, like them, don't like them, whatever. Jerry Jeudy, until further notice, is the best wide receiver this team has. That hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So you're not maximizing Jerry.
No.
Correct?
Again, the question of, is it the offense, or if he drops a pass, then you know you're.
Yeah, I know he's. I know he's had issues. I know he's had some issues with drops. I know that, but you're still not maximizing him.
No, you're right.
Get him the ball. You know, get him the ball. Figure it out. I know he has to catch it. Figure out ways to put the ball in his hands and let him go. David Njoku. Do you feel David's been maximized so far?
No, I feel like there's way more that they can do. But
I think so too.
If you feel like you need to keep Njoku, and we're talking about going to this two tight end package more often, which is a very Kevin thing, which is fine. I have no problem because having Fannin and Njoku out there at the same time as an outlet, I think is fantastic. I think both those guys are high percentage plays to be able to get the ball down the field. No one's asking for more than 7 or 8 yards out of a tight end, right? Are you? I mean, you might ask a tight end to go hit the line so you can get a first down, and tight ends, because they're a little bit bigger, maybe are a little more apt to wanting to cut across the middle and get into that danger zone.
Yeah.
Because they have the body types to do it. And Fannin is just like a bulldog, man. I love the yards after the catch with that dude. He just is like, he's remember the Fred Flintstone when he was playing at Princeton? And Fred had like 15 guys on him.
On his back?
Yeah, and he was twinkle toes.
Fred was just plowing through, baby.
Wasn't he twinkle toes? Wasn't that his? Or was that just his bowling?
That was bowling.
That was bowling, sorry.
Yeah, when he was bowling.
But when he was playing football, man, I mean, like.
I believe.
All the other guys couldn't bring him down. That's Harold Fannin right there. He's a Fred Flintstone type runner once he gets the ball, which is outstanding. That's
great to hear, Fred.
Oh, buddy.
Micah is in Cuyahoga Falls. Micah?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I think, though, that Tommy Rees, honestly, isn't going to change much when the offensive line is allowing 35% get into the quarterback on dropbacks. You know, I think that there's not much that can change when our offensive line is not doing much of anything. Our players got to start first before our coaches, you think.
offensive linemen will tell you, Micah, they love to run block. So maybe
yeah, they do.
Maybe run blocking is their strength, and maybe the more you run, the better your pass blocking becomes because you're not doing it more than any team in the NFL.
I'm just not sure how much we can maximize our receivers and our the rest of our team when all we're doing is run blocking and not getting our players down the field and hitting our players. Doesn't help that the rest of them are dropping passes too, like you said with Jerry Jeudy or David Njoku.
All right, Micah. Micah doesn't sound real optimistic.
Well, I don't think anybody should be right now.
Well, they've given us no reason to be.
The personnel hasn't changed.
No.
So now all we're doing is,
You're trying to tweak some things, and maybe I'm going to cling to this. Maximize your personnel. That's what he talked about. That to me means I expect to see more of Jeudy. I expect to see more of Njoku and probably more of Judd, which I don't think is a bad thing. We were talking the other day after work, and it was about Kevin catching grief and quarterbacks and blah, 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 blah. And I just wanted to double check. So I looked a couple of things up last night, including playoff games. Kevin has had 12 different starting quarterbacks in 95 games as head coach of the Browns.
Here. How many?
12.
That's insane.
In 95 games. Yeah, because Kevin is in the middle of year number six, and he's had 12 different guys start at quarterback for him. Now, three of them, you know, started only one game. But best winning percentage of a quarterback under Kevin Stefanski here in Cleveland, who do you think it is? This is a loaded question, by the way.
It's got to be Joe Flacco.
It's not. It's Case Keenum. He was 2-0.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But guess who was next? Baker Mayfield. Baker was 18-14 here under Kevin. And
wait, percentage or wins?
Winning percentage.
Oh, that's right. Joe lost games this year. Yeah,
yeah. Winning percentage. Baker was second. Baker and Case Keenum are the only quarterbacks who have a winning record under Kevin. And I know Baker's getting a lot of credit, deservedly so, for the way he's playing in Tampa and everything else. Baker's best one-loss record was under Kevin Stefanski. He's not won 11 games since he won 11 games with Kevin, for whatever that's worth. But this just kind of leads to it screams about the lack of continuity at that position and the trouble the team has had. We all know it, but with Flacco, because this year didn't go real well, Andy, and the playoff game didn't, 5-5. So though Joe had that great stretch where he went 4-1 in the regular season, he ended up 5-5 as a Browns quarterback. Deshaun's right there with him. Deshaun's 9-10 under Kevin Stefanski, so a .500 quarterback. And remember the year that Flacco went 4-1, or was it 5-1, Deshaun did as well. So that was interesting. Jacoby Brissett played pretty well here, but still they were just 4-7. P.J. Walker, you won a game with P.J. He started two games for Kevin, went 1-1. Jameis was 2-5. Seemed like lost opportunity with Jameis, because Jameis made some guys look pretty good.
But, and he was fun.
But he was throwing the ball all over the place. That didn't work. Dylan is 1-3, one of the lower winning percentages so far, by the way, with Kevin. DTR is worse at 1-4. And then Bailey Zappi, Jeff Driscoll, Nick Mullins each lost their only start. But that's 12 quarterbacks in 5.5 years for Kevin.
Yeah, I'm talking about offensive coordinators for Gabriel. Think about that for Kevin.
It's
not a recipe for success.
No, it's not. Ryan is in Medina. Hey, Ryan.
Rhino.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Well, you know what?
Nope.
This is a rerun of what we've seen in past, as you guys know, in past eras of the Browns. We can look at Bud Carson, who didn't know how to call plays. And
Bud didn't call plays. He was a defensive coordinator.
Huh?
Bud didn't call plays. He was the defensive coordinator.
Well, who was the guy? The past guys calling plays that substituted for the coach, head coach.
Lindy
in
Infante?
Years.
The offensive coordinators. Lindy Infante called plays for Marty Schottenheimer.
Randy Infante. Well, I would give Infante a little bit more credit than the others, wouldn't you?
Yeah. He did a nice job here, Ryan. Thank you. Offensive coordinators sometimes call plays.
He might have had a point.
That was going nowhere.
Well, maybe he was trying to get somewhere.
Well, good.
He was trying to establish the floor there,
Andy,
Your Honor.
We're trying to run a show here.
I know. Well, he was trying to give you his resume before he got to.
He thought Bud Carson called offensive plays. Can we stop there?
Bud was a nice guy, though, wasn't he?
Well, he seemed like a fine fella.
Think about how hard it is to get a coach here since Marty. Right?
Oh, Bud? Bud was awesome.
I'm not saying he wasn't awesome. I'm just saying to have a winning coach since Marty. Consistent winning coach.
Bad.
Since Marty. Help me.
Consistent winning coach since Marty Schottenheimer?
It's the guy you have now, isn't it?
Bill Belichick was okay.
Maybe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Boomer Esiason giving us the skinny on the state of the Jets there. And that was in response to a question about, you know, sometimes you see guys get dealt and all of a sudden there's a glow. There's a, you know, the team lights up in response to that. And other times, then more oftentimes they get deflated, and it sure seems like Boomer expects us to deflate the Jets.
Well, I mean, think about it. If we have a play calling turnover for the Browns and then a Jets fire sale, somebody's going to have a reason to be excited at the end of this week and thinking that something they did actually enacted change, when in reality, it might not have mattered either way.
I just think I'll be really pissed if it lights him on fire, right? Like,
I mean, but so the other part of that is that it could light him on fire all you want, but if you just don't have the talent anymore, you just don't have the talent anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, the defense wasn't very good with Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. I guess to me, it's how it looks. Like, I don't want to do the universal, you better win this game, because I think that's pretty obvious. They're favorites on the road. They're bad on the road.
We don't even know who the Jets quarterback is this week.
It's going to be Justin Fields,
right? Justin Fields said today he has no idea if he's starting on Sunday or not.
I don't believe that. I think he's playing the game.
I would think so, too, but I also wouldn't have thought that they would have named Jacoby Brissett the starter in Arizona over Kyler Murray up until they did that just 2 days ago.
I think coming off a win, you finally get a win with Justin Fields. You can't finally get a win and then go away from him.
I agree with all of that. I would start Justin Fields, but it's just the idea that they haven't definitively said one way or another, and it actually does, as Boomer pointed out, like, it actually is a talking point in New York about what they will do, and it's Wednesday, and they have not said one thing about it.
I also think, I think the one way they're going to beat you is the speed off the edge with guys like Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and more importantly,
and Garrett Justin, Wilson was dealing with an injury today too, though.
But Justin Fields.
But there's another thing that just popped up randomly. As more and more people, it seems like, and I don't know, we'll have to look into the Garrett Wilson thing, whether or not that just becomes a business decision for him. If all of a sudden he ends up not even playing on Sunday, because he's like, why am I trying if this team isn't even going to try?
I think I'd rather be in Cleveland.
That's as deflating as it gets. By the way, if you have a locker room that instead of being inspired by the "I'll show you" Woody Johnson is like, oh, so if I'm nicked up at all, I gotta sit this one out. I gotta think about future me.
I listen. I think everything that has been said by Boomer and you is fair. I'm not going to come out there and do the "you gotta win this one." But offensively, if you can't look good against a team that lost arguably their two best defenders. And didn't directly, like, Mozzie Smith, he's not a direct replacement for Quinnen Williams. Mm-hmm. One guy's a draft bust. The other guy is, when he's actually playing good football, is one of the best defensive tackles, interior pass rush guys in the NFL, and certainly is going to go down to Dallas and fix their run woes. Sauce Gardner, you didn't replace him because you traded for a wide receiver in that trade. If Dylan Gabriel can't look better in this environment, I don't know why you're throwing him out there against Baltimore.
Well, so here's the part where I feel bad, is that I put that to Ross in that similar way. Of like, you're coming off of a bye week. It's not a good defense. They traded everybody. Like, if you don't look good now, when are you going to look good? And Ross's response was like, well, he's a rookie. And he almost tried to do it in the way of like, you're an idiot. It's game five of his rookie season. So I do wonder, like, are we just being too impatient with Dylan? I would argue that I've just seen enough. I don't know what else he could possibly show me. And you have to... if anything, if you're not succeeding against a team like this Jets team, if you're not looking good against them, then it's all right to say, hey, ride the pine for a little bit longer, maybe figure some things out, and then we can revisit this later.
I think watching guys like Daniel Jones go to another team and Baker Mayfield go to another team and Sam Darnold go to another team, mm-hmm. and have success has basically stopped people from trying to analyze quarterbacks until they're just about in retirement.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing, and again, like, the dumb part about this is Dylan was the 92nd pick in the draft, and there were about three teams in the NFL that might have believed he was worth a fourth round pick, late third round pick. And the Browns happened to be one of them. The rest of the NFL was thinking, sixth, seventh round pick.
Yeah.
So I guess you 6'7".
I thought we killed that. I think we killed that at Halloween.
When did we kill that?
I thought it was like collectively. I thought
Lindsay Rhodes' kids said
adults,
that.
Yeah, once adults really got into it the way that we did, I feel like it died.
I think that was an emotional take, and Lindsay's an analytics person. Until she brings out the numbers that 6'7" is dead, it's not dead. It's totally.
I'm off on 6'7". I want the record to show.
Oh, you're not juggling anymore.
I'm off on 6'7". I love the juggling. I think the juggling's fun. I think we need to collectively retire 6'7". Put it up to the rafters. It had a good run. It was fun while it happened.
It's a young meme. It's got a life to live.
It's gone.
You're an old. You can't say
gone.
You can't kill a meme that you didn't create. And you're an old.
I feel good
when the kids are done with it.
I'm done with it, and so that's how I feel. Like, a lot of the kids are now also done with it, and everyone else is going to collectively start to be done with it.
I have three kids that are not done with it.
They're got to be close. It's got to be knocking on the doorstep.
Over the weekend, somebody said 6 or 7. And all three of them, like little gerbils, went,
6'7".
It was a good attempt by the children. Once the parents,
you just want to kill it.
Once the parents, yes, that's what I'm telling you. I want to kill it. I think it's close to its.
I don't have that kind of ego, so I won't be doing that.
It's on death's doorstep, and I feel like we're it's right there. We're at the finish line. We need to collectively put a stop to 6'7".
Now probably 6'7". The
NBA ref do it last night.
Started saying it.
He was like, reset the clock to 6'7". 6'7".
Did then he do
and
the
6'7"? And it's like, you're an NBA ref.
Wait.
You're a real official.
Did he actually do the hand thing?
He did it all, yeah, while smirking. And the whole crowd loved it. It was like, well what happened here?
Yeah, you got personality out of a ref. Of course you enjoyed it.
He couldn't help himself. I don't know that he actually did the arm gesture with it.
Well, then it's not the same thing.
He did the whole 6'7".
Did he do the voice thing?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He 100% did the voice thing while smiling the entire way. It's like, you're a paid ref and you're in on this?
If
Donaghy would never.
They're in on everything. If Tim Donaghy tells us correctly, I guarantee if there's a parent driving their kid around right now, they absolutely hate us. Sorry about that.
Don't worry. We're close to it being done. Don't worry.
We are 6 or 7 more times.
We are close. I do like the juggling part of it, though.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. You're going to kill one of your better bits there.
Yeah.
One of the things to come out of the bye, and one of the things, he caught it. One of the things to come out of this entire trade deadline, and should they that I absolutely loathe is the idea that this is not a win to be celebrated this weekend if the Browns get it. If the Jets fire sale somehow cheapens this, I understand we just want a win that is the unimpeachable win that tells us this team is actually way better than their 2-6 record. And by Jove, we're going to beat the Ravens and then we're going on to the Super Bowl. I get that. Enjoy the freaking win. This is as layup of a game as it was from the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't, if you don't win this game, it is absolutely fair to have your little meltdown. Ooh, I didn't like that. To have your meltdown about it. But this idea that we're going to cheapen this win before you even actually get it or don't get it, I don't know what the hell we're doing in sports anymore. To me, this is the kind of stuff that sports talk does. Was it even a real win if you beat the Jets? Yes, it is. It goes in the win column. It is a positive for Stefanski. I absolutely hate when sports talk goes to, well, you got to discount this win. Nope. Every win goes in the win column is a real thing because we don't discount losses.
Well, are we back to the they drive Lambos too part of the discussion? Is that where we are?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, like these are still NFL players.
Like Garrett Wilson might still suit up. Breece Hall. And by the way, Justin Fields, if you mess around and you don't respect Justin Fields, he'll run all over your ass, and then it'll be an uncomfortable game.
He's got an ability to score in the high 30s. He's done it at points this season.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking across the way and thinking, we can beat them. That defense was exposed in the perimeter last week. Hey, that offense is the worst offense in the NFL.
You said you listened to Boomer earlier today. Obviously, we had Boomer on at 520, but was any part of their conversations like you're playing the Browns? This should be the rebound type game?
Because they're like you and me. They're very realistic about things.
Okay.
I think if you went to a different outlet, same station.
About that show is they're not a bunch of propagandists. They are definitely, they just shoot you straight.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and so, nice. But no, so there was
that's
no,
I would tell
none
we
of
like
that.
To do it here. Yeah.
But I guarantee you, Aaron Glenn saying, guys, they're 2-6. We're going to be fighting over the number one pick. We can beat these guys.
I feel like with the Jets, there's a real sincerity attached to the idea that if you win, you are ruining your draft pick. And the whole point now moving forward is draft compensation. And I just don't get the same vibe from this Browns team. And maybe I'm just an idiot for thinking that way. But I'm not at the part of the season where everything is about draft position right now. There's just so many other things to be gained by winning games at this point.
Even then, guys, let's see where we are in like week 16 or 17.
And we have the draft capital to move up if we need to. And it's not as if there's a million quarterbacks in this class that are going to be taken 1, 2, 3, and if you're not having one of those top three spots, you're just out of luck.
Even if they were, those guys, like, I get that.
Well, I told you, I might feel a different way if there was that once every 5 years, 5-10 years type player that we talk about. I might feel a different way, but there isn't.
I mean, listen, there were three quarterbacks taken in the top three picks in the Trevor Lawrence draft. Trevor Lawrence is the best of those three players. The other two guys are on another team.
Well, there was also three, though, in the Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels draft. And, I mean, those all
and
three
the worst
at this
one
point.
Went first.
The worst one went first, but all three of those at the point look pretty good, all things considered.
Well, yeah, but we can talk in a year, and two of the three could be busts. Like, you're making a valid point, so I'm not trying to shoot down your point. I think it's more that I'm done with the, I want to root for draft position. It didn't work a damn bit when I rooted for draft position, and they took Cam Irving. It didn't do a damn thing when it was rooting for draft position and they couldn't draft their way out. They took Corey Coleman in a trade down.
Yeah.
Like I just,
it just feels like there's too much left on the season to be thinking that way. Yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at with it.
And honestly, even when you get into week 16, 17, 18, guys, you only get so many seasons in life. Like this idea that I'm going to be rooting for, like, listen, if they end up losing out, will I go? Oh, in the end, you got the first or second pick. There's a lot of value to that. Sure. Am I going to be rooting for it? No, that stinks.
Also, I don't know that my mental headspace can handle them losing to this depleted Jets team.
Oh, no, I get
angry, it ruins my Sunday type game.
But that's what I think is frustrating me about talking about the backdrop of this game, is if they win, people are going to be like, well, of course, they beat the Jets. Whereas if you lose, it's going to be hair on fire. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know, man. That just feels wildly unfair to a team that's already 2-6.
You mentioned meltdowns. I'll meltdown.
I'm going to have a meltdown.
If they lose to the Jets, this Jets team, I'm going to have a meltdown.
I might cool off
by the time we get to Monday at 2:00. But on Sunday, my Sunday will be ruined. It'll generally be ruined if they lose to this. It's such a bad Jets team.
Can we do this for our own mental health?
I just can't. My mental health is shot already. Let's go ahead.
We're trying to get back to the right side. Can we all just do this together? If they lose on Sunday, they're 2-7. There's your answer. Like, be upset in the moment. Like, let's all burn with Jeff and Tyvus after the game. We'll all rage about it. But, like, they're 2-7. Like, you can't be that mad if you're 2-7 and you lost to a team that had one win coming in. There's one win that separates you.
But this is a worse team than even the Dolphins. I say it with a question mark because it's an actual competition of which team is worse right now.
Are they back to juggling?
Thank you, YouTube. There it is.
Oh, you got it.
It's a really bad football team, and they sold off everything. And I think it's only
they didn't sell off everything. They still got Garrett Wilson.
Defensive side of the ball.
They still got Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, congratulations,
Tito Johnson, Ricky Johnson, Rocky Josh Johnson. All the.
Johnson?
They have all their Johnsons. I don't know what more you want. 216-474-0092. Will you celebrate a Browns win against the Jets? If not, why are we doing this? And Boomer also says what the Browns should but didn't do at the deadline. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I said yesterday that if they're in evaluation, are the Browns in evaluation mode?
Sure, why not?
Oh, shut up and answer the question, damn it. Are the Browns in evaluation mode?
Evaluate them all.
All right, so if you're not going to be serious, and I'm going to be serious, and maybe you can get your head out of your ass and join us around 7
sort
o'clock.
Out.
I think they're in evaluation mode, and I said yesterday, because I said I'm thinking clearly for the first time in weeks. And then somebody sent me a picture of me as dressed as a clown and go, good old clear-headed Kim. It's like, damn it, that's right. I felt clear-headed yesterday. For the first time in weeks. And I said, guys, I have been thinking about this all wrong. Everything I've done with the Browns is about saving a bad situation. I go, I didn't create this situation. I did not want to trade for Deshaun Watson. Only half of the show wanted to. I didn't want to do it.
I thought he was top five quarterback.
I thought it was over for Baker. I'll tell you that. I was wrong on that.
I thought Baker sucked too at the end.
But I did not want, but I didn't have an answer for it. My whole answer was, I don't know, maybe we're going to have to talk to him and see if we can run this back. Cause I didn't have any other good answers for it. Cause at the time it's like, who are you going to make a move for? So it was like, we're kind of stuck, but I didn't have any faith in him. It's like, well, I think we're going to have to bring in a vet and have a competition here. Cause that's where it's at.
Did we talk Jimmy G? It was Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr.
I tell you right now, I think Derek Carr was absolutely a conversation, but it sure as hell wasn't me wanting Deshaun Watson. But I've been sitting here thinking the whole time about why am I trying to save something that might not need to be saved? I need to look forward about how to fix this and then build and do that. And it provided me a lot of clarity, and I'm thinking, guys, they're in evaluation mode, so I'm just going to evaluate. And you go, no, you're an excitable boy. You're going to sit there and get all excited. I go, no, I'm not going to do Super Bowl Super Browns on Monday if they win. And you gave me some unrealistic scenario about how well Dylan Gabriel would play, which is totally unrealistic. And I literally laughed in your face over it.
It's a 25, a 31, 325, 325 two touchdowns.
Was the number of yards. Okay. I hope so, because I'm laughing my ass off. Hardy har har over 325 yards. I heard this clip. I tooled around on the internet yesterday, and then I saw this clip. I didn't think anything of it. And Keith's like, "Are they taking a dig at you? Is Andy taking a shot at you here in the midday show?" Something about just winning on Sunday got brought up. And here's Baskin and Phelps about beating the Jets on Sunday.
There's no guarantee that you're going to pick a winner in the first round. You got a 50-50 shot. You got two chances to try to go out and get a quarterback. Just play the regular season the way you're supposed to play football. Go out and try to win. I don't want to hear about it. I know I brought it up a couple times that the loser of this game is really the winner. I don't care. You need to beat the Jets. You really do. You like the way David Njoku sounded? You know, that's what you need inside a locker room moving forward. Yes, you've got a room full of millionaires. I get it. I understand it. Just play the game and play it the right way. And I don't want to sit around here and think about, ooh, they lost that game. That's a win. I know I said it.
Yeah,
me
I was going to say, you're the guy who brought it all up.
Well, I'm just saying because I know people. I've had 100 people didn't mention say it to me. They're like, you know, if they can just lose this game, shut up. I don't want to hear it. Just win. Go get a quarterback if that's what you want in the draft. I'd much rather be in a position where Gabriel and Sanders steps up. We have a quarterback for next year. Maybe go out and get a veteran if you want to bring another guy in, but use those first two picks for an offensive lineman or let us pray a wide receiver.
How's that a shot at me? I listened to that clip. I just want to know, how's that a shot at me?
Is it because
I don't think it is.
You said you wouldn't necessarily be celebrating the win over the Jets.
No, but I didn't say I want them to lose. I don't think that if you win, you're the actual loser of that. No. Andy and I are in the same thought. I don't want them to tank. I don't think tanking really works. Why is that a shot at me? That isn't any shot at me. I think you should be able to beat a team that traded away their two of their best players on defense. By the way, they're taking Quincy Williams. They're making him a backup, Quinnen's brother. So that's a veteran that you already have out of there. So he's on his way out of the Jets. Yep. So, I mean, you have a team right now that is reeling that you're playing against. Yeah, you should be able to line up and beat them. And Dylan Gabriel will probably pass for a standard fare of 160 yards. And what do you want the average depth of target to be? Something terrible. Yards per attempt, something terrible again. Probably a touchdown. Hopefully no interceptions. And you'll probably grind it out to a 17-10 win, and that'll be the end of it.
I think because there's a new play caller this week, I think he is going to throw it all out there. This will be a kitchen sink. Just the new guy takes over.
Tommy, you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I do think, even though I know that we had audio from Wyatt Teller saying they're going to be the same place. Yeah, but it's just, you know how these guys like to flex when they get the opportunity. It's what Freddie Kitchens did.
That's fine, but I don't know if they can. I don't think they got the horses to actually do it.
Of course
so
they
you
don't.
You can go five they wide don't. And do anything you want, but if you ain't got the guys.
But I could see them saying, well, we're playing the Jets. They're demoralized. They got guys waving the white flag. Their general manager already is. So I buckle up. I think you could see Tommy Reese like drawing stuff up because fans eat that stuff up much.
Yeah,
nobody loves a trick play like a demoralized fan base.
All right, I mean, you can be as demoralized as you want, but I don't think that guys are sitting there bleeping themselves with fear if Cedric Tillman lines up across from them.
No reason to.
You still have the same people that you have to throw to. So I don't disagree with Andy. Yeah, just you should win the game. You should win the game. I'm not going to celebrate them losing the game. I'm just not going to come in here and rant and rave and Super Bowl, Super Browns and hoot and holler if they win.
Even if we get 325.
Fine. If they do something that's completely unbelievable.
The kitchen sink game.
If they do something that's completely unbelievable and completely unrealistic, fine. I will hoot and holler and say I was wrong and I'm so happy to be wrong. It ain't going to happen that way. You should be, without Quinnen Williams in there, you should be able to move the line around the way you are, move the pocket left and right the way you want to. You should be able to free Dylan Gabriel up to see some lanes, to throw some guys open. But I don't know if he's going to anticipate it any better. And so the whole kitchen sink game, I don't know. They tried to throw the kitchen sink at him against New England.
Two trick plays.
Yeah. Except, again, that ain't Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. That's Gage Larvitan, Isaiah Bond. Whew. It ain't the way it used to be, buddy. So you can only do with what you got.
So you don't foresee with the new play caller and the Jets being down and out, you don't see this being the Jerry Jeudy coming out party for 2025?
I don't know if he's going to have a coming out party this year. You probably have a better chance of an electric football player throwing to him. Okay, that was just me. I'm sorry. 216-474-0092. I mean, do you only care about winning on Sunday? That's all I want him to do is just win the game.
You should be able to beat a team like that. Part of it is I just don't feel like watching a 9-6 game. Like, give me some entertainment.
Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to be watching a 9-6 game. I don't think you're going to be very entertained.
Man, these teams are both so bad that couldn't we?
Well, no, your offense.
Couldn't
is
we
bad.
Get unintended good offensive play just based on the fact that this is such a weird game to have halfway through the year where both teams. One was supposed to be, you know, making moves at the deadline. The other actually sold off.
Yeah. And you have a team that in the Browns that still has great players, even though that they still need guys on offense. They have some great players on defense. Justin Fields has actually not had a great history against the Browns.
He sacked him 9 times in a game.
Yeah, well, that was the first time out. And then the other game, he did well until the defense started to step up and Joe Flacco got on a heater and they beat him in the fourth quarter. You remember that.
Yep.
Then there was the dropped Hail Mary at the end of the game that could have beat us. Thank God he didn't hold on to it because, I mean, that was probably the difference in the playoffs right there. All these things I'm saying, like, they're 0-5 at home this year. You're 0-12 on the road. Something's got to give, man. Something's got to happen. You got to be able to go out there and beat them when they've been doing all this stuff. Or all this stuff that we've been saying is for nothing. But they're still, at the end of it, they're still pros. And I still think it's going to be a tight game. So you say you're not looking forward to a 9-6 game. Yeah, there's a lot of things that people in life are not looking forward to. But they have to do. So guess what? You're going to have to sit there and watch a 9-6 football game. And again, more of the same, I'm sure, of 143 yards and people bitching online and arguing about whether or not they should put Shador in. That's what you're going to get. I hope you're saddled up for it. 216-474-0092. Do you only care about them winning on Sunday? Do people only care about them winning on Sunday? I agree with Andy. You just go out there and win. Just go out there and win. Show that you have a good defense. Show that you can do something on offense. Make us talk about Tommy Rees in a different way. A little bit. But I'm not going to sit here and I'm standing firm on this. I'm not going to come in here and whoop it up and make
also,
myself a
you
fool.
You know what's going to happen
before they get ready to play the Baltimore Ravens the next.
I know
Sunday.
We got to go. You know for a fact if the offense like explodes this week, it's going to be an indictment on Stefanski.
Hell
the
yeah.
fans are going to line up
Hell
and say,
yeah.
"Why did we waste this entire season with Kevin?"
Ladies and gentlemen. This is our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
You are.
We're doing well. I threw this out earlier, Nick. I know the Browns are 2-6, but the Jets are 1-7 and just traded away their two best defensive players. If this is pivotal, I think. Is it attracting any attention in your business?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Jets guys were a small home favorite coming up on Sunday in this game against Cleveland. And then the news comes down at the trade deadline that they deal away their best corner and their best defensive lineman and Sauce Gardner and Quentin Williams, respectively. And now the Cleveland Browns are 2.5-point road favorites. And I promise you this, this will be the only time all season that the Browns are almost a 3-point road favorite against anybody in the NFL this season. And when I think about this game and conceptually, this game, I do like Cleveland, as crazy as it sounds, Cleveland to win this game by 3 points or more. The Jets' offense is atrocious, and I know they looked good against the Bengals a couple weeks ago. The Bengals may have one of the worst defenses in the history of the league, and A.D. Mitchell, who I like a lot, is the receiver the Jets got, kind of as a throw-in in the Sauce Gardner deal.
Which is a nice move by them.
Yeah, he's immediately going to be their second-best receiver. It's just, can he keep his head on straight? Couldn't do that in Indianapolis, so the Colts give up on A.D. Mitchell. I don't think you'll see A.D. Mitchell play a big role in this game, only going to be obviously on the Jets for a couple days at this point. So I think the Browns are going to be able to stop the Jets from doing basically anything on offense. And on the flip side here, what's stopping Quinshon Judkins from having a huge game on the ground? Off the injury report, looks like he's going to be good to go. Now, I'm going to stop short of saying this is like one of the best bets of all time or anything like that. It's two really bad teams. Anything can happen. But if you made me bet the game, I would actually lay the points with the Cleveland Browns.
And over-under is what, 3? 3.5 in this game?
Well, the number starts with a 3. The number is 38. I would bet the under if I had to bet it, but probably will be on the outside looking in of that one.
Do gamers like this kind of a game? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're talking about the battle for the first pick in the draft.
Well, I guess I don't know if either team is going to be like intentionally trying to tank. It's more, I guess the way that I would think about this is this, and I'm curious if you guys have an opinion on it, right? And we're not going to know until we get to like the heart of draft season. It feels like to me 27 is like the real like electric quarterback class, which doesn't mean that there can't be awesome quarterbacks this class. Like if, you know, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana, if Oregon's Dante Moore comes out, right? If Ty Simpson comes out from Alabama, maybe that's a great quarterback class. But with what the Jets did, loading up with three first round picks in 27, it feels like they're almost more focused on that draft to kind of maybe get their quarterback, maybe go for Jeremiah Smith, right? The Ohio State receiver. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland's got two first round picks in next year's draft. The Jets have two first next year and three in 27. And the Rams also have two first round picks next year. They have theirs and they have Atlanta's. And the reason why I mentioned the Rams is because I think you would be nuts to not consider the Rams to be a quarterback team in the draft, right? Like Matthew Stafford flirts with retirement every single year. And you would think that Sean McVay is going to want to acquire his quarterback of the future at some point, right? It's not Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not going to be Stetson Bennett. So this arms race that I think we're going to have, and maybe it'll be for the 26th draft, maybe the can will get kicked down the road. I think, like, unless one of these teams just, like, organically is the worst team and gets the number one overall pick in the draft, like, the Browns have the firepower to go up to number one. Like, the Jets have the firepower to go up to number one. The Rams have the firepower to go up to number one if they decide they want to. So I'm reticent of kind of saying this is the tank bowl unless one of these teams has decided we need to be the worst team and get the number one overall pick. And then the obvious counter to that is, like, there's no Andrew Luck in this draft class, right? Like, there's no can't-miss quarterback prospect unless they fall in love with, like, Fernando Mendoza, and I don't know if that's the case.
That's kind of what I've been thinking too. You know, we heard six, seven, you know, could be a historic number of quarterbacks taken in the first round. As this has played out, Nick, I don't know if that's the case. And, you know, you look at veteran quarterbacks who have switched teams who might have been given up on by their other teams, you know, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith's been tolerable. I mean, there are all kinds of guys there. And I wonder if that factor plays into this game at all for either team. Would you think the Jets more than the Browns would lock in on a quarterback in this upcoming draft?
I think both teams need a quarterback. Like, Justin Fields can't play. Tyrod Taylor's old and, like, can't really play even when, like, he can play. And I think, like, you know, it's like I've been saying all season when coming on with you guys, you know, it's like Dylan Gabriel versus Shedeur Sanders to me is kind of an irrelevance because, like, neither guy is the quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns. Like, maybe one of them, probably Gabriel, profiles as a long-term backup. And I'm not trying to bury Shedeur that, like, he can never be a starter. Just feel like you don't take Shedeur in the fifth round if you feel like he's your quarterback of the future, right? So both teams need a quarterback. I guess where I'm at on the Jets is the Jets are farther away in their rebuild than the Browns are. Like, I think the Browns have way more talented young players on the roster than the Jets do. And again, like, the Jets loading up in 27 tells you that maybe, like, that's the draft class that they're targeting to really make a splash in. And it does make sense, right, with some of the quarterbacks that could be coming out, you know, in 27. Like, is that an Arch Manning year? And Arch has been playing a lot better for Texas. Like, that's Jeremiah Smith's draft. And, you know, he's so good at the receiver position that maybe he bucks the trend. And maybe he's good enough that he actually goes first overall. I mean, he's absolutely insane, Jeremiah Smith. So I if I had to guess, I would say the Browns would be more likely to grab their quarterback now than the Jets are. But let's be clear here. Like, both teams need their franchise quarterback. And I think, like, gone are the days in Cleveland of Sashi Brown, right, who kept kicking the can down the road every year. Like, when are you going to cash in on these assets? Like, I think the Browns are, like, kind of ready to do that next year with the quarterback.
Who do you like in the AFC North now?
Baltimore.
Still?
Yeah.
Even though they're two games back?
Well, they have everything in front of them, right? And I guess it really comes down to, like, do you think the Steelers can beat the Ravens head-to-head? And Pittsburgh did get a huge win last week against the Indianapolis Colts, obviously. But Baltimore plays Pittsburgh twice, including Week 18. They still play the terrible Bengals twice. They get Cleveland again. So Baltimore's schedule is way easier coming down the stretch. And as of right now, the Ravens will be underdogs, and things can change, right, if Lamar gets hurt, whatever. But as of now, the Ravens will be underdogs in one game they will play the rest of the season, and that's Week 17 on the road in Green Bay. And who knows, by the time we get there, maybe the Ravens are favorites in that game. Maybe they're five-point dogs, just tough to say, right? But at this moment right now, they will be underdogs prior to the game starting once moving forward this season. Compare and contrast with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are underdogs this week, Sunday night on the road in L.A. against the Chargers. So I don't think it's a slam dunk for Baltimore, but if you make me pick the division winner, I have to go with the Ravens.
What do you think of the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers?
So the Steelers are really interesting because coming into the year, I think the prevailing thought process of many, like including me, was the defense is going to be awesome. Can the offense give you anything to kind of like get them over the hump? And it's actually been the exact opposite. The offense has been really good, and by and large, the defense has been terrible this year, you know, the Dylan Gabriel game against Cleveland notwithstanding. And then last week, they kind of like really came to play, and T.J. Watt and the Steelers pass rush like kind of wrecked the game against a really good Colts offensive line. Now, they go Daniel Jones threw three picks, and they and lost two fumbles, and Josh Downs lost a fumble. So that's a six-turnover game. And looking a little deeper in the metrics of that game, like the Colts outgained them on a yards per play basis, you just turn the ball over six times in the NFL, like you're going to lose, no matter who you are and who you're playing against. So part of me does feel like it's a little bit of fool's gold for the Steelers last week's win. But then like we go to this week, right, where for the Chargers, you know, they lost their starting left tackle, Rashawn Slater, all-pro offensive tackle for the season early in training camp. And then Joe Ault, who moved over to the left side and is like an all-pro caliber tackle, he's now out for the season as well with multiple high ankle sprains. So this Chargers offensive line is like not going to be good the rest of the year. And now here comes T.J. Watt and the Steelers on Sunday night. So I do feel like the Steelers have an opportunity to kind of reassert themselves and reassert this defense. I would say that I'm skeptical of Pittsburgh's defense moving forward against some of the better offenses in the league. And that does include the Ravens when they play them twice moving forward this year.
Hey, I just want to switch gears for you a second, just because I want more of an industry kind of answer, if you've got it. You know, we had the fallout with the NBA a couple of weeks ago with a gambling investigation, and it's been and it kind of settled down here for a second. No one's really saying anything. What do you think is going to happen in the long run for this?
Like, in what way?
Will the league put pressure on their partners to stop prop bets to? Are they going to have new safeguards in place to make sure that, you know, that the games are played the right way and that we don't, I don't know how they can police it. I'm sure they can tweak things to change it, but just to make sure that there's credibility in what they're doing and that we don't have the FBI investigating our major sports leagues.
Well, what I think should happen, I think I said with you guys a couple weeks ago and if I didn't, my apologies.
Sure.
I think the thing that makes the most sense, I don't think you need to get rid of prop bets, like, mm-hmm. as a whole. But in the NBA, I don't know if you need to have, like, the eighth or the ninth guy. So, like, who's the eighth guy? Just for example, like, for the Cavaliers. Like, who's, like, the ninth guy off the bench, like, for Cleveland? Like, a bench guy that comes in and plays, like, a couple minutes a night for the Cavaliers.
Dean Wade.
Yeah, Dean Wade's.
Okay. Like, do we need Dean Wade props? Like, is that necessary? Where, like, Dean Wade is someone who comes in for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, and I'm making this up. And I can bring up the box score last night, and by the way, Darius Garland back, you think that makes a difference? 132 points last night?
Yeah,
I think the Cavs are about to go on a run here. So Dean Wade played, like, a minute last night. So whatever, let's say he plays somewhere in the range of, how about this, Larry Nance Jr. plays 15 minutes last night. You know, when Larry Nance Jr. comes in for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and, you know, he gets, you know, he's in some trouble and he's got to make some money, whatever the situation is. Yeah, like he can go in and dribble the ball off his knee and miss a layup. And we're just going to think like, okay, like your dad was really good and maybe he just stinks. And like, you're not going to really think twice about it. But, you know, if Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland or Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, like if one of these guys goes out there and is like dribbling the ball off their knee and missing layups, like that's going to be something that's going to be shared like wildfire on social media because those are the best players on the team. So I don't think you're ever going to see a situation where like Donovan Mitchell's shaving points. And I'm just using him because he's the star of the team. Like he's too good. Like you're going to know if that's happening because he's so damn good. So I don't think we need props for guys like Dean Wade or Larry Nance Jr. That would be my answer. It's not banning prop bets. Like, why shouldn't I be able to bet Evan Mobley over rebounds in a game? Like, Mobley's awesome. He's going to play a ton. We know he's really good. I would look to get rid of some of the props for, like, the lesser players on these teams, and I think that probably solves the issue.
That's an interesting thought. Always a pleasure, Nick. Thank you, bud.
You got it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
I ended up watching Game 7. I watched the whole entire game. I watched, obviously, into extras as well. And that was for my money, the best sports thing I watched this weekend, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably agree. I was in a bar on Saturday, and I was literally sitting down in the bar. Everyone else is up and doing things, and I'm sitting there with it on my phone. So I couldn't see the TVs from where I was seated.
I was going to say, the bar didn't have TVs?
They did, but they were only located by the actual bar, and I didn't really want to sit at the actual bar.
It's a bad setup for a bar.
Yeah, I
agree.
Bad
job by the bar. I mean, you're at a bar. You should be able to watch the World Series game.
I would fully agree. But so I pulled it up on my phone. I was sitting there. Everybody else is doing something, and I'm just like, oh, Jake, have fun. And I'm like, I am. Walk away. No. Like, I'm enjoying this right now. When this game's over, fully available. Until then, though, they're the World Series. I'm watching the World Series.
Game didn't get over till like, what was it, 12:15, 12:30, somewhere around there. Did you shut the bar down then, or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you said, oh, yeah, as if that's the assumption. I forget you're 23 years old. Of course you shut the bar down. You want to know the last time I shut a bar down?
Right around 23?
Easily a decade. Easily a decade ago. It's been a long time since I shut a bar down. We went to a wedding a couple Fridays ago, and I was out by 9:30. Like, which is a wild concept for people of your age. It's funny because anytime I talk to somebody, because again, you mentioned we have a lot of young people around the station, and they'll be like, yeah, yeah, weddings. Like, that's great. You got an open bar. Like, you live for it. And I'm like, open bar is not the incentive that you think it is for someone like myself at this point. Open bar does nothing for me at this point in life.
That's all the incentive for me. That's all it takes.
I can buy booze. I have a whole bunch of booze in my house. I don't need the free booze at a wedding. We're good.
Listen,
it's okay.
I think I could have an entire house full of booze, and if you offer me free booze, I'd be like, I don't have to pay for any of that. That's the free part of it.
There's a spot. It used to be the case with me too, where I'd be like, oh yeah, are you kidding me? Like a all you can drink activity was like the gold standard. That was like the coolest thing in the world. And now as I got older, it's like a bottle of Jack Red is not that expensive, guys. Like, we'll be all right. It'll get the job done, I promise.
I mean, does it the same, but if it's somebody else's bottle of Jack Red, I like that bottle better.
I love you just at the bar with your phone out, just yes, watching baseball and not wanting to be disrupted by anybody else, though.
I wanted to sit at the bar and I wanted to watch baseball. So literally any time I go out to the bar, that's all I want. Like, you could put on Korean baseball and I'm going to be like, oh, now I have something to watch. I'd rather communicate with people.
I was
going
to say, you're not like mingling. You're not like talking with the other people. Like, isn't that the point of going to the bar, is to kind of hang out with people?
Yeah, but I need the secondary media. Like, I'll sit there with my friends and drink, but like, I'd also like, in my view, to have some kind of sporting event.
So what was the setup with this bar? Why were you guys not able to be in a good spot for the actual like viewing of the World Series? It wasn't too crowded by the bar, I would imagine.
No, I mean, it wasn't crazy. The bar only had six TVs and they were all up at the bar. Like, it lined the bar, like the actual bar area of it, but it was just six TVs.
John Taffer needs to shut this bar down.
Yes, I agree.
We need to bar rescue this bar.
This bar just went through a renovation to add the six TVs.
How is a bar, do you have less TVs than I have in my house?
That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. If I walk into a bar and I'm like, I have more TVs at home than what is currently going on at this bar, I probably leave that bar.
Yeah, I would like to, wherever I could stand anywhere in the bar and I should have a view of basically what sporting event I want on, as long as I'm not like interested in something niche, right? Like, if I'm like, mm-hmm, oh, I'd love to see the Seattle Kraken game right now. Okay, I don't need that. But if it's Game 7 of the World Series, shouldn't matter where I stand in the bar. I should have a view of Game 7 of the World Series.
I mean, I like the idea of giving out remote controls to people at different spots of the bar, too. Mm. And so then, like, if you're at a table, each table gets their own TV, and then you can just kind of, you get to change the channel. And you get to have the remote, and you just get to change it to whatever you want. That should be in play at bars.
See, now we're talking about, this would be a bar that you and I would open, Jake, because this is a place I wouldn't leave.
Oh, money idea. You get to pay to have access to the remote that puts the TV show on the TV that you then want. So it's like, you know how you have like jukeboxes, obviously, yeah, and the touch tunes, and you pay like a dollar and then you get to put whatever song you want on? Same type of theory. For like a dollar, you get a half hour control over whatever we watch on the TV.
This is good, especially if you do them at the bars. I mean, you could go up to like, hey, $10, but you get your own bar TV and it's whatever you want on the bar TV.
No, not the dollar. You have to have them buy a pitcher. And then you get the remote access for half an hour.
Buy the pitcher, you get remote access. It's got to be for the length of the pitcher then, or is that what that is?
No, give them 30 minutes.
This would not go over well with people in general. I don't know why we all became cool with accepting the idea that you have to pay for the music at the bar. We all just, for some reason, we all just like, of course, TouchTunes has to make money for some reason. I could see a lot of people, myself included, being like, wait, what has society turned into? I have to pay to watch sports at a bar? I'll just watch at my house and drink for free.
I mean, this is a good point, because I would hate that idea of going to a bar if I owned a bar. I don't mind this idea.
I'm just
that
trying to think of a way to make money is all it is. So I love the idea. It's game seven. An awesome game by every single account you can imagine. And then you're on your phone taking in the game and you have the rooting interest from there.
Yeah. And really, this World Series is odd because I didn't really have a rooting interest either.
I was rooting for the Dodgers, oddly enough.
So I talked about this on overtime. I was like, I really don't know who to root for because in one way, the Dodgers are the top payroll in baseball, and are paying $100 million more than the Blue Jays are, who are still the fifth highest payroll in baseball. So that tells you the discrepancy between the two. And in some way, felt odd to root for the only Canadian team, too. I don't know. Felt very unpatriotic of me if I wanted to root for Toronto. So I couldn't do it. I was just like, if the lockout could happen right now before this series started, that would be the happiest result to me if the World Series never played.
It was an incredible Game 7 by all accounts. Everything down to the Rojas home run in the ninth, to the force out at the plate, to the idea that Shane Bieber vomited all over his shoes and that porn stash that he's rocking. Like, it was there were so many elements to this game that just gave you WTF. And it's all you can root for as a sports fan with really not much of a rooting interest. Give me as many WTF moments as I possibly can get. And that game was just littered with them.
Yeah. I mean, that was, like you said, it's basically everything it asked for. Like, if I'm a impartial fan, I'm just rooting for basically chaos. And you got pure chaos. Like, Blue Jays felt very in control early, and then things flipped on its head. We got extras. Everybody loves free baseball, right? You give me free. I'm taking it, much like the alcohol. I don't know. I was enthralled in the game, and very rarely do I feel like I'm actually very invested in something where I don't have a rooting interest, but like that's the type of game that'll do it for me.
Yeah, everything down to like Sasaki, even though coming out after pitching 100 pitches in Game 6 to then pitch in Game 7 and not be able to have the immediacy attached to it was just an incredible sporting event that I knew instantly when I watched it, and this is very rare that I think this. I said there's nothing that the NFL on Sunday could deliver that would come close. And Bears-Bengals was a bunch of points, a bunch of action, a bunch of this, a bunch of that, and it just nothing could possibly come close to what happened in that Game 7. And it was just, you were satisfied from a sports viewing standpoint just in that moment. You're like, all right, the weekend's made. Now we're playing in the bonus the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a lot of people, like, I saw a ton of back and forth, obviously, on social media with people just, I don't know, almost feeling bad the Blue Jays blew it in a way.
Well, they were kind of, it was weird because you mentioned like the fifth highest payroll, but for some reason people looked at him as like a scrappy underdog.
Yeah, but it's only because they were playing the Dodgers. Like,
yes,
that team was far from a scrappy underdog. They also bought half their team this year.
I know, but everyone looked at him like, yes, they were some scrappy underdog. And we love to root for an underdog, and that was just kind of the result of that. And that's, I mean, it was, and also, I mean, the idea that Toronto should have won the game in four different parts, I think, played into this as well. Like, there were four different moments you can look at and say, if you're a Blue Jays fan, I mean, everything down, haunting is one way I would describe it if you're a Blue Jays fan. I was even thinking, like, back in Game 6 on Friday night, they cut to it in the ninth inning. The Blue Jays have two runners on. You got one out, and Fox goes back from the commercial break because there was a pitching change, and they go up in the rafters, and they look at the 93 World Series banner, the one where, you know, Joe Carter has the walk-off in Game 6, and like, they were setting the scene up for that to then have Toronto just absolutely blow it. It was a masterclass in moments you'll remember as a Toronto Blue Jays fans for 30 years. You must have had five or six different moments that you'll remember for 30 years from now where it felt like the whole sports or the whole baseball world was just trolling with your emotions.
Yeah, and I guess
it's devastating.
Yeah, like, but as a Cleveland fan, like, I've gone through, you know, countless of those moments. Like, I feel like, yes, you've been in those moments over and over again to the point when it happens
to other
people.
Well, that's also weird. It was weird too, though. It turned into some sort of like, we have more pain than you have for some reason. I didn't understand that because, yes, there was a lot of pain attached to an extra innings loss in 2016. There was a lot of pain attached to an extra innings loss in 97. But yes, Guardians / Indians fans have been through that pain, but it didn't feel like it felt odd to try to measure our pain versus their pain.
Yeah, like,
both are painful.
Yeah, they both stink.
Both stink.
Like, it's just bad. I don't know that I necessarily, like, feel bad for them. It's like, hey, know what you're going through. That stinks. But, like, again, would I feel worse if this is the 30th payroll in baseball? They had fought to this moment, and, you know, you had a bunch of young guys come up and just do it, and they built the roster the quote-unquote right way. Sure, I might feel a little bit worse. You went out there, you bought a roster, you put together a good team, you lost. Somebody always loses in the World Series.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.